Our soul converts this thought flow into human language in our minds, and we experience thinking in the thought process. The thought flow from God is full of love and peace. We are stimulated to think positive, inspirational thoughts and ideas that help us in our daily life. Evil spirits try to impress their thought flow to us, which stir up sinful and wrong thoughts. The secret of the permanently peaceful and joyful Christian life is learning to be continuously tuned to the divine flow of thoughts from God. I have seen the divine flow of light that constantly streams down from God towards the earth through His angels and ministering spirits bearing gifts and ideas that could bring great blessing to the receiver and to mankind in general, inventions, ideas and powerful concepts, which are there for those who are open to receive them, if they are open to that flow of thoughts. All a person has to do is make a decision, in his heart and in his will, to be open to help from the invisible spiritual realm, practicing the presence of God. God is spirit, and one needs to be spirit conscious in order to be aware of the presence of God, John 4:24. The essence of meditation is to be able to move our state of consciousness from the soul body realm into the spirit realm, thus contacting the spirit world. The basics of Christianity, like praying in the spirit, worship, meditation on the word, prayer, etc., help to bring one into this spiritual state of consciousness. It is not just important to be able to achieve spiritual consciousness, but it is also essential to maintain it. It is possible to be spiritually conscious of the presence of God 24 hours every day, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, Galatians 6:18, 2 Corinthians 13:14, John 4:14, 14:16-18, 15:11, 16:22. Four Mysteries of the Spiritual World. In chapter 10 of her book The Rainbow and the Worm, The Physics of Organism, May One Ho links the relationship between light and matter and even describes a method to photograph biophotons. Her mathematics, using quantum physics as applied to organisms, shows the simultaneous existence, or consciousness, in two dimensions, in what she called quantum coherence or the unity of intentionality. Einstein's famous equation of E equals mc2 relates all mass to energy. Genesis 1-3 relates all creative energy to light, not natural light, which was formed in Genesis 1:14. All energy proceeds from God, John 1-1:5. Paul's understanding of this creative spiritual energy, Greek word energio, relates it to the Holy Spirit and the main energy that causes the gifts and works of God through us, 1 Corinthians 12:11, Galatians 2:8. All the suffering and pain in this present earth is caused by the free will of man exercised from his creation to the present day. Darkness is the result of men turning away from the truth and the light of God. Darkness does not exist by itself, for darkness is merely the absence of light. Negative energy does exist, and it is the usurping of the original energies released upon God's creation, and to men, by turning its power and creative abilities towards evil use and purposes, for destruction and subjugation of other free wills. The following are some of my observations on the operation of this creative spiritual energy in the spiritual realm. 1. All life receives and emits this energy. 2. This energy can be turned into negative energy by humans. 3. Spirit beings, whether they be angels or demons, cannot act upon the physical earth without some form of energy emitted by physical humans. They need some sort of energy emanation from us to work in our physical realm. Thus, every human being is responsible for his own destiny by free choice of thought, emotion and will. By choosing to constantly emanate negative energy, bad things and circumstances are attracted to and around a person, or community or nation of like-mindedness, like a fractal attractor. The accumulation of evil thoughts and negative energy gathers by fractal laws over the community, and once it reaches a certain attractor point, physical catastrophes and human disasters break forth in the physical dimension. On the positive side, the accumulation of positive creative energies does the same thing in bringing manifestations of physical blessings both in the human dimension and in nature. 4. The best way to overcome evil is by focusing on the good rather than by focusing on overcoming the evil. Example, to eliminate bad thoughts, one should just have good thoughts rather than focusing on rebuking the bad thought. The focus on evil in itself gives more energy to the sustaining of the fractal attractor energy that it is receiving. 5. All the evil that one faces individually or as a nation is first created by oneself or by the nation. Evil by itself cannot exist in the physical dimension if it is not attracted to exist by the free choice of humans. The greatest enemy of evil is the power of love. In an environment of perfect love, darkness and evil cannot exist. 1 John 4:18. Secret of overcoming. Every human being has weaknesses which he or she has to struggle against in this life. The secret of overcoming these weaknesses, even when it has led one through many failures and consequences, is, 1. To acknowledge personal responsibility through free choice and that one has some level of inheritance of it, from soul and physical ancestry, and also from wrong upbringing or the lack of it, both nature and nurture. The refusal to accept that the wrong things and results of one's own life have something to do with one's own free choice and inherent nature condemns one to repeat it unto death. Blaming others and God, no matter whether the be natural or societal causes, does not work as it is merely self-denial of responsibility. No matter what your inherent nature is or what societal influences you were nurtured in, one should take personal responsibility for one's own consequences. 2. Upon acknowledging that the evil in one's own life is the projection from one's own internal life, look at your own weaknesses like members of a soccer or football or rugby team to be trained, rather than looking at them like the devil in you to be expunged. Each strength is a weakness and each weakness is a strength. For example, the muscles that a swimmer developed for strength in water would at the same time make him clumsy on land. The muscular speed ability of the 100-meter runner and the muscular endurance ability of the marathon runner are two different abilities that would be liabilities if their roles were exchanged. Don't see your own weaknesses as enemies, but rather see them as different members of your team for the enhancement and growth in your life. Treat them as you would treat an unruly child rather than an enemy. Each time it falters, encourage the right temperance as you would encourage a child who falters. 3. Balance between spirit, soul and body. You cannot live life in just one of these dimensions. Allow each of these areas in your life to expand and grow. Physical exercise, soul and social activities should not be neglected in the pursuit of spiritual activities. 4. Have a grateful heart. Give thanks in everything. Yes, even for the weakness. Be filled with gratitude in your life. Be filled with gratitude to everyone. Thanksgiving and love are powerful combinations that bring positive fractal attractors around us. I challenge you to be a thankful and love-filled person every day to yourself and to everyone around you, plus all of nature and creation, for 1 year and see whether good things start circulating and happening around you. Never ever judge or condemn another person because in doing so you are condemning yourself. Instead give thanks for everyone including yourself. In your worst scenario, give thanks that you can find the love in your heart for that person or individual or that circumstance that caused you grief. Never, never ever let anything else flow in your heart except kindness, love and gratitude. People or circumstances may be ugly around you but never let that ugliness creep into your own heart. This is an important key. If you don't get this point, please don't go further. Meditate until you fully comprehend and absorb this point. In the spiritual world, the brightest light coming from humans are those whose hearts are filled with thankfulness and love. From such, the darkness flees away. Analyze the time and occasion when darkness started creeping into your heart and your life started going downhill. It is when you lost the ability to be thankful and loving. Please, recapture what you lost and you will be an overcomer. Blemishes in the organized church. The church is to be without blemish or spot for Jesus' coming, Ephesians 5:27. The following are some of the greatest flaws that need to be corrected in the present modern church. 1. The present emphasis on physical and material wealth. The temporal has now become a priority in the organized church rather than the eternal, such that even church members speak of not being interested in attendance or spiritual things if they do not see any physical or financial benefits resulting in their own lives. The vast majority of sermons and books are now the feel-good Christianity and the physical success Christianity. All these things pass away. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is there your heart will be also, Matthew 6:19-21, 1 John 2:15. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve two masters. The shameful focus on money, success and wealth is a decline of Christianity happening in front of our own eyes that we are too blind to admit or see. 2. The religiosity without love. Church leaders and members are quick to condemn and judge in self-righteousness. Much of their attitude seems like the Pharisees of old and definitely not like Jesus. Did Jesus condemn the woman at the well? Did Jesus condemn the woman caught in adultery? Did Jesus condemn Zacchaeus? Jesus gave them all a chance. How can one say 3 strikes and you are out when Jesus says to forgive 70 times 7? The Apostle Paul would not have a chance in the modern church since he has murdered and killed many church people. We need to understand that only God sees the heart. David committed adultery and murder, but he was still a man after God's heart. Abraham lied and put his wife in danger, yet he was God's man for the hour. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but his destiny as a leader over the church was never changed, because through it all in his heart, he still loved Jesus. Who amongst the organized church has not sinned in word, thought or deed? Yet as those who have received abundant mercy and are ambassadors of the love of God, we have shown so little mercy and so little unconditional love. In these last days, religiosity without love will lead to the path of self-destruction and darkness. The true church might end up outside the walls of organized church if this attitude continues. 3. The lack of interest and hunger in spirituality. Open your eyes and see. While the present church and its ministers are occupied with the things of this world, the spiritually hungry and unchurched are looking to get away from the things of this life by the millions and seeking a more contented and spiritual existence. There are now rats in the church running the rat race, while there are now lambs outside the church seeking to be fed. We have replaced the life of God with our creeds, the Lamb of God with our rituals, and the commandments of God with our rules. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Matthew 5:3-7. Instead of being poor in spirit, we are proud in spirit. Instead of being meek, we are cunning, crafty and worldly wise. Instead of being hungry and thirsty for spiritual righteousness, we are hungry and thirsty for worldly success. Instead of being merciful, we are masters of judgment and condemnation. No wonder we do not inherit the true kingdom of God, nor inherit the earth, nor receive the awakening of spiritual righteousness, nor obtain the mercies of God. We should cry in shame at the spiritual hunger outside the church, which contrasts with the physical worldliness in the church. 4. The persecution of the church by the church. One would have reasonably expected that Jesus' warning of tribulation be occurring from outside the church. He clearly stated that it would be from outside the church, John 15:18-21. Imagine the pain and agony of Christ to see that a vast majority of persecution of Christians is from other Christians, leaders and laymen. How did we become a cancer and start killing our own? Why can't we love everyone who is born of God? 1 John 5:1. If we say we love, then why are curses and condemnation, sometimes in both cruel words and deeds, still flowing from those who claim the right to be arbitrators of justice in the church? Have we forgotten the history of the Inquisition, when many innocent died in the hands of the religious righteous? During the Inquisition, clergy and laymen spent their time inventing new methods of torture. In our modern times, the new torture is by exercising the right never to forgive and forget, the right to ostracize, digging out one another's sins, washing dirty linen in public and humiliating one another. Look outside your church around your city streets and malls. You will find many injured lambs and discouraged sheep lying in pain, kicked by the church but nursed by the unchurched Samaritan. Oh, when will Jesus' prayer in John 17 ever be fulfilled? When will the church be the church? There is a dark cloud and shadow trying to enter the church in these last days. It is not sent by God, rather the above accumulation of negative energy in the church is going to bring forth its own self-destruction, and hopefully purification and cleansing. Yet through all these, there are those who truly walk in Christ's love and spirit both in the church and outside the church. These will be enclosed in the arms of God's light and power throughout every upheaval, experiencing the goodness of God's mercy and favor in season and out of season. The good news. The best news is that evil will vent itself out and self-destruct. The key is to stay in the patience, peace and love of God. You need not lift one finger to overcome evil, just merely keep actively walking in love. Evil has already been overcome in Christ. You are more than a conqueror in Christ if you keep the love of God strong in your heart through every single tribulation or failure in your life. Romans 8:37. No evil person can reign forever. No evil organization can last forever. It is written in the very fabric of creation that all that is in disharmony will self-destruct and wipe itself off the face of this planet. Never let the face and breath of evil rob you of your right to choose to walk in love, peace and thankfulness. The Son of Love and Righteousness removes every stain and stench of darkness. To those who try to wrestle in the flesh with evil, you are commanded not to wrestle with flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. By coming down to the carnal level, evil has already won and is right now sucking energy from you. Just simply choose to love, just simply choose to give thanks. For you are seated in heavenly places in Christ. It is only when you truly understand that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 3, that you can stand and fight the good fight of faith, Ephesians 6. Power for healing and miracles. There are three ways in which healing flows forth from the spiritual world, all involving the Holy Spirit, of course. One is through the human spirit. The second is through the work of angels and ministering spirits. And the third is through the direct work of God in Christ. Although all healing flows forth from God and needs the instrument of the human spirit, in terms of spiritual work classification there are three ways for it to flow. Thus all humans with a spirit that is strong have a measure of healing power. Some human individuals have developed their spirits more than others and seem to possess this healing ability, Proverbs 18:14, Romans 1-9, 1 Corinthians 5-4, James 2:26. The healing that flows forth from the second category is stronger and more powerful because it involves both the human spirit at work plus the spiritual presence of angels and ministering spirits who specialize in these works. Exodus 3-2, 14:19, 23:20, 23, 32 hours 34 minutes, 33-2, 2 Kings 1-3, 15, 6:17, Acts 5:19, 20, 8:26. From time to time, the manifestation of the healing Christ comes upon a gathering, group or community and the most powerful healings take place. Acts 5:12-16. Of the second category, angels and spirits from the higher spiritual spheres are commissioned and sent by God to link up with humans whose spirits are open to God. To humanize, it seems that the physical humans are able to manifest great authority and power in healing, but to those whose spiritual eyes are opened, the work of these angels and spirits can be seen behind the human vessels. There are rare occasions when humans have walked closely with God Himself in such a manner that the Lord Himself directly channels His healing power through the human vessel. These healing events are extremely powerful and are closely watched by all in the spiritual world as they also have an impact on the spiritual world. The power of the Holy Spirit. The highest angels in the spiritual world are so powerful that one glance from them can cause an earthquake in the lower spiritual realms and easily on the earth. the way in which the spiritual world sees is different from physical sight. Physical sight is merely the ability to receive physical light and process it in our brains. Spiritual sight is more like a thought form. Our thoughts and imagination are like another form of sight in the spiritual realm, which combines both vision, understanding, thoughts, love and truth, which links up with the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. The spiritual light of the Lord Jesus flows through the entire spiritual world, but even more through those who are highly developed in the spiritual world. Each spiritual being carries this light which flows in the direction of the glance. For this reason, those who live in the darkness of the spiritual realm are always exposed for who they are in the light of these higher beings. When the will force is added to the look of the higher spirit beings, a great power flows that shakes all before it like an earthquake. To a very small extent, this power is available to all spiritual beings who are in union with the glory of the Lord. For many in the physical bodies, this power is released through their spoken words. Mark 11:22-24, the force of faith and desire is the force of the will that is in union with God. This power of the Holy Spirit can be developed in the individual to the extent that even the presence of the person will bring miracles, signs and wonders. Acts 5:15. Loving God and loving our neighbor. These two commandments are what establish our spiritual progress and positions in the spiritual world. The opposites of these are love for self and love for the world. Many people rationalize in their own minds that they love God and love their neighbor, but the test is in their pleasure centers. There is a natural pleasure center and a spiritual pleasure center. Those who love themselves and the world enjoy and take pleasure in this life and in the material things of this world. Those who truly love God and their neighbor find the true pleasures of this life in spending time with God and spending time serving and giving help to their fellow humans. Their greatest delights are in the performance of these two commandments. Their spiritual sense of pleasure is opened and in doing so supersedes the natural pleasures that this world can offer. When the spiritual pleasure center is opened, the capacity to feel all the wrongs and pain in society also increases proportionally. Many who are spiritually sensitized seek isolation and live apart from all human contact. These do not progress spiritually, and many, upon entering the spiritual world when they depart from their physical bodies, find themselves also isolated from the rest of the spiritual community amongst people like themselves, who do not get along well with others. The key is to be able to do something about the wrongs and pain we feel in human society through acts of kindness, mercy and love. One cannot progress spiritually merely by claiming a love for God without a proportional active love for one's own fellow humankind. Examine what it is that brings joy into your life. If it is anything else except the joy of loving God and the joy of loving your fellow humankind, the love of self and the love for the world is still present. Chapter summary. There are many more mysteries of the spiritual world, like time, space and various dimensions from the spirit realm perspective, like how one move by transformation rather than by distance, like how physical time is only a small subset of visible stage changes from the spiritual realm, and many others, but they need to be told in another time and maybe another book. One of the limitations of this physical realm and our finite mind and its use of human language is that one can perceive 10,000 things while in the spirit and spirit language, but when one returns to this natural realm, it feels like one has lost knowing it, to some like a forgetting, because of the inability of our finite mind to quantify it into our human language. It takes time and meditation to slowly find the right words to express the things of the spirit world. In God's perfect time, when this world becomes more spiritualized or rather more in union with the love of God, God will allow more understanding of the harmonies of the spiritual world to the physical world. It will be and is the ultimate will of God for this physical planet to be in perfect harmony with the spiritual realm. For now, learn the art of being in union with God through the love of Christ and live every day from the spiritual realm. End of extracts. Book from 2007 by Peter Dan, Evangelism.